Religious Development Today and the Bible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Bible Stories. Religious Development Today and the Bible. The Bible gives us many wonderful stories. And when we take these stories and we make them into something that is supposed to be very precious and very special for us, then it is very special and very precious for us. But when we take these stories and we understand what these stories are, then we realize that what we read is not necessarily a fact, but what we read is a direction of our thought. For all of life and all of living is a thought. Thoughts that we think are the experiences that we have. Our mind has a lot of thoughts going through it constantly. Our world, our living, every moment of our life, we have thoughts going through our mind that are just unlimited. And the writers of the Bible told of the stories of the things that they did. I like to repeat what I learned early in my life about Bible teachings. The Bible is a story of the religious development of a people. It is more a story of the development of how people learned to have morals, how people learned to have conditions, how people learned to have principles by which they lived, values. And the Bible is truly a book of great, wonderful values. Every Bible is. Because it's a story of how the community, over the years, developed the ability to live one with another as a community, as a group of people. They learned to cooperate with one another. They learned to be beloved of one another. They learned to appreciate one another. It was not always an easy task, because the task required that they love their neighbor, even though their neighbor was not very lovable. And in the learning of their loving their neighbor, even though their neighbor was not very lovable, they put a cause in motion. And this cause brought about harmony in the neighborhood. Now, love your neighbor does not mean that you have to appreciate everything that your neighbor does. Because all human beings, all beings, have different attitudes and different reasons for doing things. Now, your parents may have taught you that you should believe in the family and that you should uphold the family's rights and support the family at all costs, and you should do this all the time. And another family teaches their family the same thing, but about their family. Not about all the families in the world or the neighbor's family, but about their sole family. And because of this, they sometimes are at odds with the neighbor. Because the neighbors may have taught themselves to do certain things that were unique and special. As for instance, people have different tastes. And some people like sauerkraut and some people don't. Some people like meals that are cooked in the Japanese style or the Indian style or in the American style or the German style or the Italian style. You can name any country in the world, and there are certain styles of cooking that are unique to those countries and to those peoples. Well, now, that's how it is with a neighbor family. They have styles of doing things that are unique to them, and we should respect that. We don't have to participate in it, but we should respect it. And the respect, that's the big point that we come to learn about. It's not a matter that we do like our neighbor does, or that we do the things that our neighbor does, but we respect their right to do what they like to do. We respect their right to have their particular diet. We respect to have their right for their values. In truth, when we get down to the very fundamental basics, every person on the face of the earth has certain fundamental values that are universal, not unique. but universal. And the fundamental values are, we don't want to hurt ourselves. We want to be happy. We want to live a joyful life. We want to live in a healthy body. We want to be able to love our family and love our neighbors. We want to be able to be a happy group of people. Happiness seems to be one of the primary requisites of living in this world. We want to live a long, happy life. If we're in a sickly body, we'd like to get out of it and die. We'd like to get well, of course. We'd like to have a whole body. We'd like to have our body whole and perfect. But these are universal things. These are universal. Now, there are some strange philosophies with some strange families that teach their children that pain and suffering are good and that these are valuable things. But those are strange indeed. Even some of the Christian religion teaches pain and suffering. But this is far from the reality of the universal attitude of life. It's far from the reality of the religious development today and the Bible. Today, there are certain peoples in certain countries who live according to some ancient archaic ideas, and they call them terrorists. They go around trying to terrorize other people. They think it's okay to kill other people on behalf of their rights and their beliefs, that they can go knock down the Twin Towers and kill hundreds of people in the process. Well, what's so unusual about that? We do that in every nation on earth in what we call war. We feel we have the right to go and protect our country by killing other people who tried to take it over. We feel we have the right to go out and help other people protect their country, and we're not even involved. We don't even know these people. We don't even speak their language. And yet we go and we fight for their right to have their ability to maintain their right of the country. Now, today, we know better. Today, religious development is more into the philosophy idea, as it always has been, and that we speak our word and bring about harmony and right action and peace on earth. We know these things. Science today is revealing it more and more and more. Every time I read Scientific American, or I read Discovery Magazine, or I read Nature, or I read any of these other in-depth scientific magazines, I find that they find that thought is a very powerful vehicle. Thought is a very powerful vehicle. They say that in our body we have these stem cells that are born every day. And these stem cells are undifferentiated cells. They don't know what to do. And we are supposed to tell these stem cells what to do, but we don't do it. We just let these stem cells go and visit with all the other cells in our body and take on the attitude that the other cells in the body have, and thereby keep up the same attitude that was before. Whereas if we were to say, I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body, I am ideal, spirit, mind, and body, I am ideal, spirit, mind, then we are working with the stem cells into creating an ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, you might say that everybody in the world, well, we not only might say it, but it's true, everybody in the world has stem cells that are born every day in their body. And so when we, as a world consciousness, begin to say, I live in my ideal spirit-minded body, this consciousness, this attitude, spreads throughout the entire world, and people all over the world begin to think they live in their ideal spirit-minded body, which is what they really do. And the more that this attitude is inculcated into the world consciousness, the more that the world consciousness demonstrates this on all levels of being. It's not just a matter that we'd like it to be that way. It's not just a matter that we want it to be that way. A negative consciousness creates a negative atmosphere in the world. A positive consciousness creates a positive atmosphere in the world. We have the ability to do this, and this has been done through all the teachings of the world, all the great philosophical teachings, all the great religious teachings, all the great Bible teachings from every nation and every culture. They all have basic foundations that they want to protect their own family, they want to protect their own country, they want to support their own people. And in doing that, they sometimes say, at all costs, as though something bad were going to happen. And of course, something bad then does happen, because when you say at all costs, then at all costs begin to need to be fulfilled. They need to be upheld. Would you die for a principle? Well, my goodness gracious sakes alive. Die for principle? What a stupid thing to do. Would you live for principle? Now there is the real point. If we say we're going to die for principle, we say we stand in war and we stand for being killed, we stand for torture and all that. Well, that's the most stupid thing in the world. We want to live for principle. We want to live our principle in such a way that the principle is universal and is beneficial for us and for everybody else, and there's no need to die. Dying is only because we have different principles. We have different points of view. We have different attitudes that we think are important to be followed and lived and expressed. And this is what takes us away from the expression of being our living in our divine ideal spirit, mind, and body. Do you want to live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body? You don't even know what it is. Nobody does. But we know it's good. And we know that it's ideal. And we know that if we lived 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, and we were in our ideal body, we would have no illness. We'd have no unhappiness. We would have harmony in all areas of our life. We'd have abundance in all areas of our life. We would have fine relationships in all areas of our life. This is the religious development today. This is the religious development which is always in the Bible. But it was misunderstood, and it was misdirected. But today, we can take the religious development that's going on in people, in cultures, in science, in business, in all areas, and make it so. We can do things that are absolutely fantastic. We can do things that are absolutely magnificent. Brilliant people are around us all the time. Some of them are acting brilliant. And some brilliant people are looking at other people and they say, I'm going to act like they did. I'm going to act like they do. I'm going to do the things that they did and they do. But then we find that really is not beneficial. And we back away from it. And when we back away from it, we go into the attitude that all life is fantastic and we are fantastic. We have the privilege, we have the right, we have the opportunity to see our religious development today and understand our religious development today and know our religious development today as something very spectacular and very wonderful. But we only have the opportunity to know it if we ourselves choose to live according to our highest and best. If we ourselves choose to live our ideal self, our ideal culture, our ideal beingness, it's not so strange. It's not so strange at all. But we have that opportunity. Now, are we going to take advantage of it? Are we going to reveal it in our life, in our affairs? Are we going to stand up for our principles and our values, or stand up for them and have them be happily responded to? Are we going to be the kind of people that we would like to see other people be in our world? If we are the kind of people we'd like to see other people be in our world, then we will see other people in our world being the kind of people that we are. We can do that today. We can live that today. We can express that today, if we choose. But to choose to do it demands that we are very special people indeed. Very special people indeed. Are you ready? I'm ready. I open my heart today that I express, live, shine forth my ideal, spirit, mind, and body under all circumstances. Religious development today in the Bible? Interesting, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And how wonderful that is. I love you. I love you. I love you.